Take your Bibles and go to Revelation. We're looking at fundamental truths in the Bible, and what does fundamental mean? Fundamental means obvious, easy to see, literal. So when I say I am a fundamental Baptist, that means I read the Bible literally. I don't spiritualize it unless God tells us to. I don't put things allegorically or metaphorically unless God is drawing a picture. And every once in a while, the Lord will do that. But I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, which means what? I read the Bible as God wrote it. And if I don't understand something, it will require study. Or, like I've told you before, what's one of the best ways you can start studying your Bible? Just pay attention to where the periods are. Where's the sentences? You're supposed to study in complete sentences, right? If there's three verses in a sentence, then look at it that way. Well, this morning, as this is lesson number 5, and we're going to do the fundamental or obvious teaching of heaven and hell. Now, when we did the Sunday school teachers meeting Wednesday night, when I put these lessons together, I was like, why in the world would you do a lesson on heaven and hell? Why would you not just do one? They're both huge topics, right? So I said, how many would like to split the lesson? This week is on heaven and next week is on hell. And everybody raised their hand. So we're just going to cover heaven this morning. And that lesson we'll have available, that little sheet that you have here, okay, on hell. We've passed this out in church a year ago, okay? When I did a Bible study, this is really for next week's lesson, but this is so that you have it, okay? And other than that, so here we go. When you're talking about heaven, if I asked you where in the Bible would you turn to, if somebody said, what's heaven like? When we die in the Lord, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What would it be like for those we know who've gone on before us? Where in your Bible would you turn to show someone what heaven's like? Now, most people, and this isn't wrong, when I say most people, I want to expand this for you, but most people would turn to, you're in Revelation 21, right? Most people turn to Revelation 21, and there, here's a description, and this is a heaven, but I'll tell you what, watch this. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, I'm at Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, for there was no more sea. So that's how the earth is going to be changed, in the new earth, right? And watch this, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So there's the bride. You know, it's interesting. Here's the passage that people turn to as a description of heaven, because what's the famous statement? You know, we're going to walk on streets of gold. And we are. And the Bible says we are. As a matter of fact, you're in the right chapter here. Look at 18. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Look at verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold. Here it is again, as it were transparent glass. So when people say, what's heaven going to be like? Many would turn to Revelation 21 and 22, which describe not only are the streets of gold, but the whole city is gold. So, when they purify gold, the impurities come across, they scrape off the top, then they melt it again. This gold is so pure you can see through it. I've never seen gold that pure. This is transparent glass that is gold. All right? The whole city is that. Now, but just keep in mind something. Yes, this is what heaven's going to be like, and the Lamb is going to be the light. There'll be no more night. It's a beautiful picture of, ready, heaven when God gives us heaven on earth. But this is not what heaven would be like now if when my grandmother was called home to be with the Lord, with loved ones that we know that have passed, that were saved, they're not experiencing streets of gold yet, right? So let me ask you the question again. See, keep in mind something. If this is the tribulation period, and I know I ran out of board and I probably should have done it over there, but if this is the cross, everyone that dies before the tribulation period, or if the rapture took place, because it can happen any moment, what would we experience? Well, the place that I think that would give you a clearer picture of what is heaven like, where our loved ones are now, go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Because Revelation 21 and 22 don't take place until the whole universe explodes, 2 Peter chapter 3. Like, not just the earth and the galaxy, God spoke it into existence, and God's going to speak it out of existence. Then God's going to speak it into existence again. That's why it's a new heaven and new earth. Everything will be new. All right? So that's based on 2 Peter 3. Well, the bride coming down out of heaven, that city of gold that's transparent glass, that's where, if you're a Gentile and you're saved, I think everybody in here is a Gentile. Nobody in here is Jewish. That's where we'll live. In the city that's 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. Okay? The square. What's the earth for? Who inherits the earth? The Jew does. So Israel will inherit the earth. We will live in the New Jerusalem. The city, transparent glass, where the Lamb is the light. New heaven and new earth, new everything. Okay? So let's go again. We looked at what heaven's going to be like on the new earth. Keep in mind, with a new earth and new heaven, there's no sin nature. Sin has been lifted off of creation and off of mankind. There's no more sin. Watch this. Because there's no more sin nature, everything from new heaven and new earth, the lake of fire that we'll look at next week, it exists, but there's no more need for it. Those that are put in the lake of fire that we'll look at next week are totally forgotten about, and they burn forever and ever. When we go into the new heaven and new earth, all sin is lifted, right? And that, well, why do we get saved? Because we're sinners, right? We're born that way. So as far as when we go into the new heaven and new earth, it's going to be a wonderful time. Let's go back to the question. What would heaven be like now? What is Brother Dorsey experiencing now? Amen. What is he? Revelation chapter 4 would start. Here we go. Look at verse 1. Ready? After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened. So in chapter 4, a door is opened, and in chapter 19, another door is opened. In chapter 4, something goes up, and in chapter 19, something comes down. Okay, so that's the tribulation period. That's why chapter 4 is the what? Rapture. Okay, this is Jesus calling us home, and then his wrath is the wrath of the Lamb is poured out on the earth. Well, here we go. Watch this. In heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. After the church in the church age in chapter 2 and chapter 3. Watch this. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were four. See what the key word is? What would we see when we get to heaven? To be absent from the body, Second Corinthians, what to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What's the first thing you'll see in heaven? A throne. The Lord. The Lord Jesus. You say, but streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl and amen, that's all coming. But that's not now in the, that's why when you, you know, isn't it wonderful when you read your Bible? Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Heaven, singular, but as you study your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, is going to mention a third heaven, only time in your Bible, which automatically teaches you as you read your Bible in context, there's a first heaven, that's atmosphere, right? Which is, add them all up, troposphere, exosphere, mesosphere, whatever, add up all the spheres. I think the troposphere, the first one, is 5.5 miles high. Then you have the ozone layer. Then you have more spheres after that. If you add up all the atmosphere together, it's 370 some odd miles. Okay, when you see a plane up in the sky, right, and it's leaving a jet stream, that's right around 6 miles. That's 6 miles high. 370 miles, that's the first heaven that God describes in the Bible. The second heaven is going to be space, cosmos, and the whole universe. And I put the context up in here. God says it's the work of God's hands. Why am I talking to you about this? Because the dwelling place of God is the third heaven. So you have the atmosphere, you have space, and then you have the dwelling place of God, the throne, where all saints who are saved go. And how does God, okay, let's read Revelation chapter 4. Okay, ready? Watch this. It says here, and he sees a throne, verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats. What's the 24 seats? That's the, most people say that's the saints of the Old and New Testament. They do 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles. They do it, 24 elders representing. It's a representative number. Okay, so what would you see in heaven? I think the first one you're going to see is the one that died for you. It's the first thing John saw. It's the first thing Daniel saw. It's the first, and the response is always the same. To see the one who gave it, who created you and died for you for the first time, yeah, you're in awe, right? To actually look into the eyes of a man who's never sinned. It's going to be, so one of the most amazing things about heaven is actually getting to see Jesus. Yeah, that's his dwelling place. Then you'll get to see the dwelling place of God, which is vast. Here we go. Watch this. It says, 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. I think the dwelling place of God, no sin, no corruption. It will be in awe. You say, well, you said the streets of gold and the all that's later. I know I did. But where God dwells now isn't bad. No. It's just not. It's where we'll go when the rapture takes place. The third heaven, this is where we're going to be. That's where we're going to be until we all mount up on horses and ride with Jesus and come back. We're going to be up there at least. If the rapture took place today, we'll be up in that place for at least 7 years. Then we'll come back down here, which is an interesting thought. So we would only, if the rapture took place today, tomorrow, next week, the longest you would be in heaven where God dwells is 7 years. Then we come back with him. Then he reigns out of Jerusalem for 1,000 years. That means we'll be on this earth. Then the earth and heaven and universe explode. Then a new heaven and new earth. And then we're with him here before eternity starts for 1,000 generations, which is going to be somewhere around 40 to 45,000 years on the new heaven and new earth. And you know, when we ask people, if you died today, are you 100% sure you would go to heaven? Or how about this question? How would you like me to show you from the Bible how you could spend eternity in heaven with God? And I think I know what we're saying, right? But isn't it interesting where God dwells, we're not going to be there near as long as we'll be here on the earth when God brings heaven to earth, amen, and ruling with him. We'll be down here for thousands of years with the Lord, amen. So, interesting thought. I'm trying to keep you thinking, all right? So, up there, the dwelling place of God, notice this. There's the throne. There's the chapter 4 and here we go, ready? Chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Revelation give you the clearest picture of what heaven would be like now and is now. If you say, what are they? The next chapter is about the Lamb. As it had been slain, we'll see the Lord. Amen. So Revelation 4, you say, where else would you go in the Bible if somebody said, what is heaven like now, where we go to be with God? Go to John chapter 14. See, when we get to heaven, when the rapture takes place, we're not just going to be a spirit and soul. We'll get a brand new body. We'll have an immortal body. We'll be immortal, traveling at the speed of thought. I'm not trying to diminish heaven. I'm trying to say there's different heavens in your Bible. Amen. So which one would we go to now? Look at John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, we use the word mansion here in the West to describe a fancy house, okay, or a big fancy house is normally what you would call a mansion. I don't know what the square footage is. Don't ask me that. I'm just saying that's how we think about it in the West. But when you read your Bible, the word mansion means a large room. Like it says in Psalms, he has set my feet in a large place, right? I've compared it to like walking into a gymnasium. You say, gymnasium, that's kind of blah, but wait a second. That's a big room, but keep on reading it. It says here, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And this is where we get the wonderful teaching. When you get saved, Jesus is preparing a mansion for you in heaven. Prepare means to take everything you like. God knows your favorite color. He knows your favorite taste. He knows your favorite smell. He knows your favorite temperature. Amen. All of that. God knows every hair that's on your head, right? So when Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, this mansion that is in heaven now, when you walk into it, it will be custom made by the Lord for you. Isn't that wonderful? To where everything is, now, as hard as I can try to give you a word diagram of this place. Here, let's finish reading this and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 2. Watch this. Watch verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You should have written in your Bible right there, that's the rapture. That's when Jesus, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus comes down, calls us. We go up to be with him for 7 years. And then we'll come down and reign with him. Mansion, prepared just for you. I think Jesus will be there. The throne, the dwelling place of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Ready? All this needs to be taken into... I sat down with a family member last year. And everybody loves their family, at least I think you do, amen. And they'd been in church their whole life, but they were scared about death. Okay, I understand none of us have died yet, and I understand the unknown is what's scary. But thoughts about heaven, should God gives them to us for comfort, right? So I understand the unknown. Okay, I've heard. And I have held people when they took their last breath and that final sigh that we know death's heave and sigh. We're all going to experience it if Jesus tarries, right? I don't fear death, but because I haven't experienced it, there's a fear of the unknown. But shouldn't I be using the Bible to comfort me? In other words, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And that those water, it's interesting how much in the Bible, you know, they say, you know, when we cross Jordan, right? And death is compared to crossing waters. I'll come back to that in just a second. And you know, if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, when the Lord told him it was time to go home, and he started wading out in the waters, he said, Lord, it's up to my knees. It's up to my hips. Lord, and God kept saying, trust me. Trust me. Lord, I've never been here before. Lord, the water's here. And it's interesting how death is for a Christian is compared to water and the crossing of it. Okay. Watch this. You in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. Here we go. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What a verse. That means all the things we read Revelation 4, if we read Revelation chapter 5, and we read John 14, and I took you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this vessel that's this mortality is one day going to be clothed up in immortality, and we're not longing to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon. And I could try to draw all the word pictures for you, but 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, in your mind cannot conceive what heaven is like. It's so wonderful. Our sin-tainted flesh cannot comprehend it. That's how come no man has seen God and lived. What did God tell Moses? Moses said, let me see you. And God said, no man has ever seen me and lived. Your sinful flesh could not handle my glory. Right? It would kill you. Because why? We're in a sinful nature right now. So what did God do? He covered the Moses in the rock, and Moses saw the shine from the glory of God as God passed by and protected Moses. Isn't that interesting? Well, the same thing's true about heaven. I think you ought to dream about it. I think we're supposed to long for it. The hardships and sufferings and hurts of this world make us long for home. Amen? We should. But our mind, isn't it wonderful to know in your greatest dream of what heaven could be like, you don't even touch the hem of the garment. We can't handle it. Now wait a second. Next week we're going to study hell. The opposite is true about hell too. Hell is so horrible. In your worst nightmare, you can't conceive it. You can think burning, screaming. You can think about it, but you won't touch the hem of the garment. Praise God. The verse context says that for those that God has prepared, for what God has prepared for those that love him. Didn't Jesus say, I go to prepare a place for you? Amen. I think that verse is applied to heaven now and when you love God now here on this earth. I didn't know what God had in store for me 37 years ago when he saved me. God, all I knew is I didn't want to die and go to hell. Amen. So I got saved. But if you would have said, this is how God's going to use you and this is what God has planned for you, I'd have, what? God, what God has prepared for those that love him, I love the application of the verse, on this earth, if you'll just love God with all your heart, love him as best you can, then what God has prepared for you now and what God has prepared for you in heaven, you cannot conceive. Isn't that wonderful? Beautiful verse. Go back to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I think it is important when you read your Bible to know whenever heaven is mentioned, you have to look at the context to understand what heaven God is talking about. Okay? That's a context issue and that's important. I think it's a good, healthy Bible study too. And we looked at it on Wednesday night. We took a glance at it. Look at Revelation. Look at this first glimpse of heaven God gives us. Look at verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Go to chapter 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having, I'm at chapter 15, verse 1, having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, ready, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image. So this is a view from heaven, what the floor of God's dwelling place looks like. Two times it says, a sea of glass as crystal. Well, glass and crystal are going to give you a hard surface. Okay? When we read in our Bible and it says in Genesis 1, God divided the waters from above, the firmament, from the waters that were below, separated them, it appears that once you leave our atmosphere and you go through space, the floor of God's dwelling place is water, and the top of it's frozen. Or you could say it's in some crystal hard form. I do not think heaven is water. Okay? But, I'm really not out on a limb here. Okay? Some of you are looking at me like, what? Okay, go to Psalm 148. Go to Psalm 148. Right in the middle of your Bible. Watch this. Look at verse 4. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens. Watch closely. And ye waters that what? Be above the heavens. I haven't been there. I don't know. God twice describes it as sea of glass, as crystal. God says there's our atmosphere, then the heavens that you just read about, and God said above those heavens are water. You say, how much? I don't know. Haven't been there. Remember, one thing that protects us from false doctrine is we read the Bible literally. We don't say, well, that couldn't mean that. Okay, just because we have a hard time perceiving it doesn't mean God didn't mean what He said and said what He meant. Right? So, because I believe the literal words in the Bible, what is God saying there? We know there's no mistakes. We know it's the pure words of God. There's no words of man in it. So, God is giving us a way of thinking, I think. You know, what happened with the children of Israel? Full deliverance was when they did what? When God parted the Red Sea. And then right when the devil, Pharaoh, was on their heels, God shut it up and killed them all. They passed through water again. Isn't that interesting? Deliverance. Death. Being similar to, it does not say, do you understand what I'm doing right now? I'm using some scriptural pictures. It does not say when you know what it does say? When our spirit departs, it says the angels carry us to heaven. It does say that. But it doesn't, I'm using some, now I'm trying to put things together. Right now, go to Job 38. Job 38, you're in Psalm. I think heaven's a beautiful place. It's supposed to be used to comfort us. You would have thought with all the COVID garbage and the lies, still so sad to see people walking around in masks. I know they're getting ready to mask it up again. The lockdowns are coming, I'm sure. But how anybody could trust the medical field after what we just went through 3 years ago, honestly, I hope there's a lot of civil disobedience is what I hope, okay? I hope there's a lot of people calling the card. Saying it was garbage then, it's garbage now. But, okay, what's the deal with COVID? It has a death rate of the flu, right? 0.03%, something like that. 0.3%. 0.3. Not even 1%. Same as the flu. Yet, you would have thought with all the fear mongering about, oh, it's going to kill us all, you would have thought people would be interested, well, if you're not ready for death, then why don't you do more than wear a mask? Don't you want to know how to live forever? Amen. Can we show you how to, there's life beyond the grave. We don't cease to exist. There's no such thing as annihilation. So wouldn't you want to know how to live forever? God tells us wonderfully how to do so. Isn't that wonderful? You could have the peace of God that whenever I die, I can go to heaven. But I didn't see that. I didn't see that. And I think as our society hardens itself against God, who knows what's going to, keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. Heaven's supposed to be a comfort for us. The world calls it pie in the sky because they're lost. They're damned. They make fun of it. But this is the best that they have it. When their heart stops beating, their burning begins. Because of heaven, for us, this is as bad as it gets. Isn't that wonderful? We have so much more to look forward to. To be with the Lord forever in the air. Amen. With Him. We have so much more to look forward to. It's supposed to be, no, I don't know where I'm going to die. Best I can figure, I'm going to be at the picnic tomorrow. Amen. I've checked my schedule. I know what I'm getting up tomorrow. And I'm pretty sure, as best I can tell, I'm going to eat a hamburger tomorrow. But could I die tonight in my sleep? As best I can tell, I think there's nothing health-wise that I know of. I just know this. As far as I can tell, I don't think I'm going to die tomorrow, but I don't know that I'm not going to die tomorrow. I do know this. You know what I'm certain about? This body is going to cease to live someday. I'm positive. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Everybody has an appointment that's already set with death. So what comforts us? Heaven. And as we think about the scriptures, no, we'll all suffer loss. When we lose one of us, okay, if I miss Brother Dorsey, I know Brother John does. And watch this. I don't think you're supposed to get over it. I think we learn how to live with it to what? I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. Amen. I've got people I'm looking forward to seeing. That's my comfort. So when you talk about heaven, I hope, and that I'll go back and then I'll close the class down here in just a second. Last year, a family member of mine, and I love them to death, and I'm trying not to tell you who it is, but they just looked at it and they said, death is so scary to me. And I said, then use your Bible to think about heaven, what we have to look forward to. It's all true. Amen. And yeah, we'll suffer loss when one of us leaves and God calls us home. But my goodness, wherefore comfort one another with these words, right? What do you know about the heaven now and the heaven that one day, Revelation 21 and 22, is going to be here on this earth? Amen. With a new heaven. I hope this encourages you, and I hope it helps you with Bible study, and I hope it comforts you. God bless you. Gang, we need to get those last three tables there pulled up. And...